Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Thanksgiving break, we're rolling out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I, of course, am the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but stop on over there, check out what's going on. You never know what's going to pop up while you're over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. So, you know, for the people who are interested, Friday, if you weren't out Black Friday shopping, or maybe you were home by then, we had the big-time matchup of, you know, Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson. In the end, Phil ended up actually winning the match in 22 holes. So they ended up going into some overtime. But what I obviously, you know, I didn't see it, Dan. I didn't pay the $19.99 or anything. But apparently, due to a little bit of a snafu, the majority of the people who did pay $19.99 are going to get that money returned. Did you happen to see this or hear about it or watch it by any chance? Did you buy it for $19.99?
No, you knew I wasn't buying it, but apparently you had to order it through Bleacher Report.
What they were saying in the article I saw is, like, Comcast is giving everybody a $19.99 credit, of course. And then AT&T, Charter Spectrum, Cox, and Dish, along with Sling, are also reportedly going to be giving refunds. I guess the quote I saw from somebody at Turner trying to explain the situation, said the pay-per-view site purchase function denied access to the match to paying customers. This, the only way they could get it to people who had already paid for it was to stream it to them for free. So basically anybody could have watched it. If you'd have just happened to turn it on, it would have been on. As it says here, it says it turned out it was streaming for free on the Bleacher Report website. So, you know, if you'd have just kind of been hunting around or looking around, you would have or could have got it for free. So, apparently if you did pay, you'll be getting your money back, hopefully. So, kind of weird.
I guess Verizon was one of the ones that's still thinking about it.
Oddly, Dan, I didn't even see any highlights. All I saw was some photographs. I didn't actively go looking for the highlights because I just – this didn't interest me at all. I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. So did you – get any highlights, or did you look into anything?
I wasn't interested in this to begin with. I don't watch anything with golf, so the only highlight I got was everyone getting the refund.
Like I said, I wasn't really interested in either, but, you know, there are times I'll flip by something I'm not interested in just to see what the heck is going on. And honestly, you know, if I didn't know it had been free on the website, I probably would have watched a couple of holes just to, you know, just to kind of see what they had going on. But yeah, I don't know, just kind of a, you know, a weird, you know, a whole weird thing. I mean, there was this, you know, big build up to it, and you know, it was like, oh, okay, we've got this going on, and it's, you know, and I know they were expecting to do really good business. Obviously, we'll never see pay-per-view numbers now because technically there aren't any. But yeah, I would be interested to know if they'll ever release like how many buys they actually got. Do you think maybe they'll try this again and do it the proper way?
No, I think after it's screwed up that everyone's just going to be like, hey, I want it for free.
Yeah, so, you know, that and I wonder, would, if they did Phil and Tiger again, would it draw interest? You know, I mean, like as a one-time thing, I could see it being kind of, you know, if you're a golf fan, I mean, these two guys are, you know, probably, you know, if not the two biggest names, definitely, you know, in the team photo. So, yeah, I mean, but would, I mean, could they get anybody else? You know, Tiger obviously would have to be included, but do they have another name they could use? Or does it have to be Phil?
I mean, I don't really know any other golfers. So.
Yeah, so I was trying to think of off the top of my head, you know, maybe Rory McIlroy, but, you know, I mean, I know there have been some guys who have played pretty well lately, you know, guys like Dustin Johnson, and I know I'm missing out on, you know, probably 800 other names just because, let's face it, it's golf, and I don't know much about it or watch much about it, so... But I guess we'll have to wait and see until next year if they try it again, huh?
Pretty much. I mean, is
all right. Well,
I just
thought that was the, you know, kind of the most interesting thing there, that they're going to have to refund this money. But you know, moving on. Apparently, Dan, it looks like the Atlanta Braves are pretty serious about trying to repeat and maybe even go somewhere in the playoffs. You know, they made two pretty big veteran signings. They announced a little earlier that they've signed Josh Donaldson to a one-year, $23 million deal. And then they're bringing back Brian McCann on a one-year deal for just $2 million. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, well, McCann's definitely not pretty for Tyler Flowers, isn't he?
Yeah, you got to figure McCann is just kind of there to add some veteran leadership and then a left-handed bat as a pretty much a backup catcher. But, yeah, I you know, I mean, you like the Donaldson shot here. You know, he's been limited the last two seasons with that calf injury. You know, no matter how you look at it, $23 million is a lot of money. But it seems like it's almost kind of a prove-it deal for him. You like this going to Atlanta?
Yeah, it's not a bad deal at all. I mean, was it for 1 year?
Yeah, just 1 year.
Well, I mean, they're breaking the bank a little bit, but they've got a lot of money to spend.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, if you think about it with Atlanta, they don't have too many big contracts. I mean, they have Freddie Freeman, and I think that's really it. You know, everybody else is pre-arb or arbitration eligible. So, you know, yeah, the money isn't a, you know, a giant expenditure for them, and especially for just 1 year. You know, it's just going to be a, you know, a thing here. But, yeah, I found it very odd. They were trying to remember who I was listening to. It may have been Chris Rose, which is probably why I should have just ignored it. But he was actually kind of complaining that, you know, they had Johan Camargo, who did a really nice job, and oddly he converted Camargo to a third baseman where he came up as a middle infielder, and he's more or less kind of a utility guy. So I was a little surprised that it was a big deal that they were – he was a little upset because they were displacing Johan Camargo. You know, I didn't really know how to react to it. And I also think it's a 1-year deal because I know the Braves have a pretty big time third base prospect in their system who isn't too far away. So you got to figure Donaldson maybe just a placeholder for the year, and you know they're hoping to get a big season out of him.
I would think so. I mean, he's solid defensively, and he has potential at the plate.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we are talking about a guy who's, you know, a former MVP. So, you know, it's not like he's a, you know, he's a bum now, but I think he's going to turn, I saw 33, I heard them say. You know, yeah, and I guess the only scary thing is, you know, he played 52 games last year because of the injury. And then he did play 113 the year before, but he kind of struggled with it. Last year, you know, it really bothered him. He hit all of 246 last year in those 52 games. You know, he put up 8 homers. You got to figure going to Atlanta, he gets back to 30-homer form, doesn't he, as long as he's healthy?
Yeah, where did he play last year? I don't even remember.
Well, he started with Toronto, and then they shipped him off to Cleveland. Remember, he was the guy
that
everybody was complaining about at the trade deadline because they had to activate him to trade him, and people didn't think he could play. So, yeah, and, you know, I did hear the new thing now, Dan, of course, is that the Braves can use Camargo as a Marwin Gonzalez, Ben Zobrist type of player. So,
well, that's what everybody's looking for.
Right, that's just kind of their thing. You know, what I can't figure out, and like you mentioned this right away, you know, I've seen 4, maybe even 5 different projected Braves lineups, and for some reason they want to pencil Brian McCann in as the starting catcher, and there's just no way they're bringing him in to start, right? I mean, Flowers has got to be their main guy, doesn't he? I mean, McCann can't catch full-time anymore.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think so, but I would think it'd be nice to have both because you pretty much, unless you have a Buster Posey or someone like that, you need a platoon at that spot.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not like McCann's not like he's going to be a true backup and Flowers is going to catch 140 or 145 games. I mean, it'll be very platoonish, kind of like they did with Suzuki last year. But now they at least, you know, McCann gives them a left-handed bat where they had Flowers and Suzuki platoon and they were both right-handed. So it was a little weird. But, yeah, I mean, I don't understand why – you know, they want to pencil McCann in as the starter. I mean, you know, another guy who had a big-time injury-prone year last year, and, you know, I think he hit a what? Did I see 212 or something like that? I want to double-check that before I mention anything that way, but I thought I saw 212. Let me double-check here. Yeah, he hit 212 last year in 63 games with 7 homers. So,
well, I mean, there are certain pitchers you want him working with, veteran or young guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he brings that veteran experience. You know, he spent the first 9 years of his career in Atlanta. You know, before signing, I think he signed a pretty big free agent deal with the Yankees, you know, and he spent 3 years there before the Yankees shipped him off to Houston for a couple of years. So, you know, he's definitely that, you know, veteran presence you want hanging around. And, you know, obviously the Braves have a really young pitching staff. So, you know, you're kind of looking at guys, you know, like this. And I did read apparently he wanted to go back to Atlanta and actually turn down some bigger money offers from other teams because he's from the area there. So he wanted basically to go back home. You got to figure if maybe this is his one and done year and he's walking away after this.
Possibly.
So, but yeah, I don't know. Now, do you think, you think rolling these guys in keeps Atlanta at the top of the division, or, you know, do they need to come up with something else?
I still think they need another pitcher.
Yeah, I thought, you know, well, I know like Anibal Sanchez pitched really well for them, but I believe he is he's a free agent. So I would be interested to know if they would even want to bring him back. Yeah, you know, looking at their rotation, do they need a 30-plus-year-old starting pitcher? Because, you know, like they have three guys who are 27. Gausman is going to be 28 really soon, but they're really young. Do they need that kind of maybe chiseled older veteran to take the ball? And, I mean, I don't even think he needs to be a top-of-the-rotation guy on this team. But, you know, maybe a guy they could plug in at 3 or 4 who's, I don't know, 31, 32 years old and can give them quality innings. Do they need a starter like that?
That's kind of what I was leaning towards.
And then I guess looking at their bullpen, you know, I know they want that this Caiano to be their closer, but he continues to get hurt. Do they need to add a secondary type of closer? I mean, they have some, you know, veteran guys hanging around. You know, Darren O'Day is in that pen, and, you know, A.J. Minter did really well for them. You know, Johnny Venters was comeback player of the year, so obviously he had a pretty good year. But, you know, do they need a legitimate guy who can close in the pinch, or, you know, can they just kind of hope Vizcaino stays healthy?
No, I think they need to go after a guy, say, like Brandon Morrow. Obviously, they're not going to get him. But, you know, someone who could be a more solidified closer in the wake of Vizcaino getting hurt again.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I don't even think they need to, you know, grab that guy who needs to be the number one type of closer, do they? They just need somebody who's there and they can kind of go, hey, this guy's hurt, we need you.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, you know, Vizcaino can't close every day.
Right. Yeah. We'll have to. You know. Well, you know, you never know. Maybe he can. Oh, you know, he pitches in 100 games or something, and we see how it goes. You know, just those fun things. Yeah. You know, I guess the big thing, and I really thought the first move the Braves would make would be to bring Nick Markakis back. You know, now that they've brought in a couple of these guys, I mean, obviously Markakis had a career year for them. Do they bring him back? Do you see him coming back now?
You would think they would, but I think they're going after something else. You think they would have done it already?
Yeah, I thought for sure that would be the first move. I mean, especially, like I said, with the year he had there, and, you know, he seemed to be a really good fit. You know, they hit him all over the damn lineup last year. So, who knows? I guess we'll have to pay attention. But, yeah, you like them, at the sticking around, hanging around the top of the division again next year after – you know, adding these couple guys, you think they, you know, they're right there with, I guess it would be the Phillies and the Braves, at least until the Phillies add Harper and Machado.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, the other thing of it too is I finally stopped hearing the guy at work talk about the Cubs picking up Donaldson.
Yeah, I, you know, again, I don't know. I kind of give it up on that. So, but, the other thing I heard, Dan, and you're going to have to explain to me how they're going to manage to pull this one off, but Seattle, and the word they use, Dan, is actively trying to move Robinson Cano. How?
in a trade.
Yeah. Who's, you know, and oddly, again, I think it was Chris Rose again who said they could send him to the Yankees for Jacoby Ellsbury and just kind of swap contracts. I don't know why the Yankees would want him, considering they have Gleyber Torres playing second base. And, you know, I think sometimes those guys just spout things out of their mouth before they kind of actually look at what's going on. You know, he's still owed $120 million on with 5 years left on his contract. Who the hell's taking this guy? The Cubs? Can we get him to the Cubs, Dan?
Obviously, definitely not the Athletics.
Yeah, unless Seattle is paying that entire $120 million, you know the A's aren't taking him. So, no. But, yeah.
I'm trying to think, but like you said, but that amount of money in that many years, you know, who really wants to have that?
So, yeah, you know, then he's coming off, you know, obviously a PED suspension. So, you know, you got to kind of wonder what's going on there. And, you know, even though he's got 5 years left on his contract, not a young guy. He'll be, he just turned 36 in October. So, you know, you're looking at a guy who's signed through age, what, 41? Technically 40. He'll be 40 the last year of that contract. But that's a long time to be kind of tied to someone like this, isn't it? I know he's been playing a little first base, so he could possibly help a team out there as kind of a dual position guy. But I just don't know. You know, looking at the contract, I can't see a fit, anywhere, Dan. I mean, do you see a fit with anybody looking around, you know, with this deal and with this contract? And does Boston take a shot with them with the injuries Pedroia's had? I mean, obviously they could handle the contract. But, yeah, I don't even know if that's the, you know, a landing spot. And, you know, they're not going to get squat for him, are they?
Ooh. You know, I was actually trying to pull his numbers up.
So, I mean, what do you need to know? I can tell you. I've got him.
Do they have a split for how he performs at what do you call it? Fenway.
Let's see if I can if they have a I don't know if they have stadium wise. No, it looks like they just have home and away.
I mean, he did, you know, what, almost 10 years in with the Yankees. So it's conceivable
yeah.
that he could play pretty well. I mean, other than that, I don't know where you send him.
Yeah, I literally can't sit here thinking, okay, who? Oh, excuse me. Where's a landing spot? Because I mean, you got to think. You know, he'd go to a contender. You know, I can't see, the Orioles or the White Sox or, you know, the Royals or teams like that. I mean, you eliminate those teams right away because, you know, they don't have that kind of salary. So, you know, you start looking at the contenders. You know, the Indians want to cut salary, so they're not taking them. You know, the Astros kind of have a second baseman. I don't think they need Cano. You know, you mentioned the A's aren't going to add that kind of salary. I don't know. Do the Angels stumble into this, Dan, somehow?
Did they let go of Ian Kinsler?
Yeah, they traded him to the Red Sox, remember?
Oh, that's right. I mean, it's definitely a hypothetical landing spot. You know, even in a short season, he had 303 with only 10 home runs, though. But.
Yeah. I guess the other thing that popped in, you know, I know DJ LeMahieu is a free agent. Does, you know, I don't know, would Colorado take a salary like that, though? You know, I mean, obviously Seattle is going to have to pay a big chunk of it, but, you know, Colorado's still going to be on the hook with this guy for 5 years and four, you know, he'll be 40. Does Colorado or maybe the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers have had some second base issues. You know, do they try to fill that with this here?
I mean, I think it'd be a nice fit in Colorado if it really is the launching pad that they say it is.
Yeah, because, you know, just kind of, banging my head up against stuff here. I mean, like, there's, you know, no reason for the Cubs to make this move. The Brewers aren't taking that kind of salary. St. Louis?
No.
No. So yeah, that leaves us. We know the Braves aren't going that route. The Phillies are aiming for bigger game. Do you think, would this be something, could this be maybe somebody the Phillies settle for if they don't land Harper or Machado? You know, and then we do have the Nationals who, you know, did move Daniel Murphy, so they probably have an opening there. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you like Philadelphia or Washington for a landing spot?
Maybe not so much Washington, but Philly. If, like you said, they don't land either one, but then again, Washington could be in the mix.
You know, and that kind of wraps it up contender wise. I mean, unless somebody's going to bubble up we don't know about, then, you know, obviously those teams don't normally add guys like Cano. So yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I like the term actively when they use that. I would be interested to know how actively that worked out, because I just can't see him, you know, going, you know, I'll be shocked if he's not in a Mariner uniform come opening day, won't you?
Yeah, I mean, 23 for the next 5 years straight, that's a whole lot of cash.
Yeah. So that's just, you know what I mean, as much as I like the guy, sadly, I don't see it, so. So, yeah, you know, and then I was, you know, a little, I don't know, maybe surprised isn't the best way to throw it out there, but I thought it was kind of interesting that Tampa Bay decided to designate C.J. Cron. You know, the guy, he probably had the best year of his career. He hit 30 bombs for him last year, drove in 74 and hit 253. Kind of the year the Angels were waiting for him to have the 4 seasons he spent there, and he could just never get it going. You know, Tampa's kind of a weird team, so they decided to designate him and let him go. Minnesota claimed him, but, you know, so now, you know, he's going to be a Twin. It's not going to cost him anything to take him on here, because I think is he in arbitration? So, you know, they just have to work that out. But, you know, yeah, I don't know. Are you surprised they let him go? And you like him going to Minnesota, obviously, with Maurer gone, somebody's got to play first base, right?
Yeah, well, like you said, Tampa is a weird team that I'm actually planning on seeing next year, so it'll be interesting.
Are you going to sit behind home plate in your Marlins jacket? Oh, no, wait, that's somebody else. I'm sorry.
No, well, my Marlins gear is outdated now.
Yeah, now it is. But yeah, I don't know. You know, and I know Tampa has Jake Bowers. you know, he's all of 22 or 3 or whatever, so he's going to be the long-term first baseman. But, you know, obviously it's an American League team. There's nothing wrong with having a DH who hits 30 bombs, is there? I mean,
no, not at all.
You know, I know this team wins, but they do some confusing stuff to me, Dan. You got to explain it to me.
I mean, how do you explain that? You know, the downside is it seems like guys who leave there don't perform at a higher level consistently post their Tampa Bay career.
The Mariners just traded from Alex Smith. And that could be bad.
Yeah, it could be. I like the kid, so you hope it turns out a lot better, but you never know.
Yeah, well, you know, we both like Christian Arroyo too last year, and he played in all of 20 games for the Rays. So, you know, maybe next year he'll get a shot at playing someplace. You know, just the way it shows what you and I know, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we were just fans of the kid. It was, you know, actually watching him, you know, kind of, maybe not on an everyday basis, but consistently following what he was doing in San Francisco. So I thought he was the cornerstone of that trade. Apparently,
yep.
We were both completely wrong.
Yeah, and then, I did see just a couple other baseball things. I saw that the Reds agreed to a 3-year deal with Raisel Iglesias, so maybe that'll shut up all the trade talk because everybody's been saying the Reds need to trade him. So maybe that will, calm things down a little bit. And then I did catch, and, you know, Dan, I know absolutely nothing about this guy over in the Japanese League, but apparently the Cebu Lions are going to post their ace. He's a 27-year-old left-hander, going to go with Yusei Kikuchi is how I'm going to pronounce it. His last couple of years have been decent. He was 14-4 last year in 23 starts with a 3.08 ERA. 2017, he was 16-6 in 26 starts with a 1.97 ERA. He is just 27. Do they have? Yeah, he'll turn 28 in June. You know, it seems like slowly but surely baseball has kind of learned to not go too ape crazy about overpaying these Japanese guys, but does you think somebody goes nuts here and pays too much money for this guy?
How old is he?
He'll be 28 in June.
Ooh. Oh yeah, he can get a full deal, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right now they say the top three teams that have emerged as interested are the Phillies, the Dodgers, and the Red Sox, but they quote the Red Sox interest in this article here as being lukewarm. But, yeah, apparently those are the top three teams interested.
Well, I mean, for the Phillies, aren't they kind of out there letting their team, their fans, know that they want to get back to the form that they were in 10 years ago? So don't they kind of have to get their interest in everybody?
Yeah, it is starting to seem like the Phillies have expressed interest in everybody, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, at this point, is there a player the Phillies haven't expressed interest in?
Chris Bryant.
Yeah. So, but yeah, they're one of the teams here, and apparently this guy is going to be a Scott Boras client.
Of course.
Are you a little surprised that the Yankees name didn't come up here when it comes to adding pitching?
No, not one bit. I mean, you know, the MO, even though the George Steinbrenner way was to just, you know, buy the guy or however you want to say it, I think with Cashman in charge, it is Cashman, right? Yeah, Cashman. He hasn't really gone that route. He's been a lot smarter with how he's spending the money and where he's going with everybody. So, you know, they've had a plethora of Japanese players, and maybe Tanaka wants to be the only guy on the team.
Yeah.
Sorry. I had to pull that one out.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I know the Yankees haven't had a ton of success. You know, Tanaka's done well there, and the outfielder, what is it, Hideki? God, I forgot his last name, Dan. Yeah, was that it? Yeah, he did pretty well there. Yeah, but some of the, you know, some of the other guys they brought in have kind of bombed. So, you do wonder.
Didn't they have a pitcher? Another guy that posted a lot of money.
Yeah, they had I want to say it was Hideki Arabu was the guy, and he just didn't work out. But, yeah, you know, in the long run, you know, there are these guys who just, you know, haven't really worked out. You know, not just for the Yankees, just for, you know, all throughout. I often wonder if you would go through it, Dan, if we'd find more Japanese guys who didn't actually succeed at the major league level than did.
Well, the other guy I was thinking about, and now I can't think of his name, was it Nomo? The guy who went to the Dodgers?
Yeah, Hideo Nomo.
His name, Hideki. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't think it's a total failure or bust, but you know, I think part of it is they project these guys to be much bigger than what they're going to be. And I think that's the biggest difference between, you know, being able to pick up some of the, I don't want to say homegrown, but the American League players, you know, because their performance is based on, or their pay is based on their performance with arbitration. So, in essence, you know, a guy like Kyle Schwarber, who was supposed to be, you know, the next Bambino, what is this, 20, he came up in 15, 16, 17, I don't need to look that up quick, but I mean, you know, the amount of money that popularity should have paid him, he's now not going to get because of his quote-unquote lack of performance.
Yeah. You know, but in reality, I mean, shouldn't it kind of be done that way? I mean, the better you play, the more you should get.
Well, yeah, and that's what I mean, and that's where sometimes the trouble comes in when you're going after the foreign guys because the numbers might be great. You know, in their league, things don't always translate.
So yeah, especially pitching. You know, I'm always extra concerned with a pitcher just because, you know, the Japanese have that rotation where it's once a week. You know, here's your day, you pitch. You know, where obviously here it's done a lot different. You know, it's on a five-man rotation. So.
For now.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think eventually it's getting to where we'll have the one day a week guy, you know, this will be the day you make your start, blah, blah, blah kind of thing. Or, you know, they'll play six games a week and they'll have six starters, you know, with one off day. You know, they'll end up doing things like that. But, yeah, you know, for now at least, I think we're still on, you know, most guys are still on five-man rotations. But, yeah,
well,
that always makes me a little when it's a Japanese pitcher.
I mean, that's something that you wonder if it's going to be brought up in the next CBA, you know, because obviously you'd have to adjust the amount of games played and how do you complete a schedule where you're only playing, you know, 6 days a week where you're guaranteed, say, Wednesday off or something. I think it's a little difficult to do. But, by the way, Kyle Schwarber is just going into year one of arbitration this year.
Huh? So it'll be interesting to see what he gets.
Yeah, he did get above. He did get above league minimum last year, though. Well, it was, you know, I don't remember what TC stands for, but last year was number two, so he got 604 or 500, where I think the league minimum was 565 and a half. So, you know, like you said, it'll be interesting to see what he gets for arbitration year one.
Yeah, because didn't Chris Bryant get like $10 million or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So that will be that'll be fun.
When you're an MVP, it makes a huge difference.
Oh yeah. So yeah, you know, obviously, you know, Bryant has a much better statistical line than Schwarber does, so you know, it makes a humongous difference. But yeah, we should those hearings should be getting going pretty soon after the new year. So we'll have to see, you know, who gets what and how things work out and all that other fun stuff. I'm wondering who. I'm sure there'll be some interesting names that end up going to arbitration. I know a lot of times teams settle, you know, before they get to it, but you know, there's always a guy or two who ends up doing it, and we'll have to see.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing with Chris Bryant, SpotTrack added a new category for market value, and they're calculating him at $24.5 million. I don't know if that is determined by what his next contract, you know, when he gets his first contract. But four players they compare him to are Giancarlo, Mike Trout, Hayward, and Joey Votto.
Huh. Yeah, you know, that sounds about right, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. You know, they're calculating him to get a 10-year contract when he does, he's able to sign it.
Oh, yeah, you know, once he gets free agency, he's getting, because he'll still be pretty young, so he'll be looking, you know, he'll probably be a 10-year guy. You know, if not 10, it's definitely going to be 8. You know, he'll be right in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, no doubt there.
But he's only 26 now, but it's interesting because the Cubs still have 3 more years of arbitration. So,
yeah.
I can see the need for Theo and company to, you know, get him to sign an extension, you know, to get him, hold him out while he's through 32 years old, or at least 33. So I think it kind of does makes you wonder, you know, why they couldn't come up with a deal. And obviously, I think the Cubs weren't willing to offer him enough money. But we also don't know the logistics of it.
Yeah, they might as time goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once they realize what he's being, you know, being awarded in arbitration, they may kind of go, oops, wait a second, you know, we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to up this offer if we're actually going to do it. So here you go, Dan. Here's a fun story. There was a new beetle discovered, a new species of beetle, and the scientist who discovered it, an entomologist by the name of Bob Anderson, named it after Jose Bautista. It is Sicotorus Bautista is the official name of this beetle. So how do you feel if you're Jose Bautista and now have a beetle named after you?
Well, your career's pretty much over, so how not to live a legacy on?
I guess it's a nice kind of carry on. I mean, he was a great player for the Blue Jays for a long time. So, you know, and this was, you know, this Bob Anderson is with the Canadian Museum of Nature. So,
no, I did see the article. I didn't actually read it. Did it have something to do with the bat flip?
You know, it doesn't really say. Let me see. It does. It's related to the Yeah, he does. I don't think he mentions the bat flip, but he mentions the home run. Yeah, here you go. Anderson decided to name the insect known as a weevil for its long snout after Batista because of the bat flip home run that propelled Toronto to the 2015 American League Championship Series. So there you go. So, yeah, I think, you know, all new discoveries should be named after sports people, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, we're 15 minutes to go, and we haven't really touched on the NFL, and I don't know how much of it you watched yesterday. You know, to be honest, it is a little difficult for me to watch sometimes when it's not the Bears or the Vikings, to be honest. I tried tuning in and picking up a little bit of the Jaguars game, but I got in right after the Leonard, that's the first name, Fournette fight, and he is out next week. Now, you know, the guys in halftime show were talking about how, you know, he needs to, they know the season's pretty much over with. And obviously Jacksonville has to make some changes. They fired the OC, I believe, this morning. And, you know, it's just not working out down there with that new big deal. They signed, what's his name, too? Blake Bortles. But, you know, do you think a lot of this is out of frustration? I know he should be thinking about his team, but, you know, just the way the whole season's going for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't figure it out. I guess that's, you know, one way to kind of look at it. You know, what all people do with NFL fights is I don't understand why guys want to punch other guys in the head when they're wearing helmets. So, you know, just
yeah,
one of those, odd things. But when you're the main running back for your team, and I mean, you're one of the actually better running backs in the league when you're healthy, man, you need to be a lot smarter than that. I don't care how frustrated you get. I don't care what's going on. You've got to keep yourself on the field because, you know, they only lost by 3 points to what is, you know, a bad Bills team. If Fournette stays in the game, that could be a whole different story. You know, it could have been a winnable game because he was doing pretty well, you know, while he was in. I don't have his stats right in front of me, but I know, you know, I know he was putting up some numbers because I remember seeing them come across on the crawler. But yeah, I'll have to look and see if I can find them, you know, quick somewhere. But yeah, it just, you know, again, I don't know. It was, you know, what the hell were you thinking? You know, it just seemed kind of, you know, kind of.
Yeah, he went 18 attempts, 95 yards with two touchdowns.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, he was a big cog in their offense, and then, you know, you lose him. And, I mean, while there's nothing wrong with, you know, Carlos Hyde or T.J. Yeldon, I mean, they're, you know, they're both decent NFL running backs. You know, I mean, not going to take anything away from either guy, but neither of them are Leonard Fournette. And, you know, you need your guy in the game. You know, so, yeah, it just seemed
kind of dumb.
You know, call it frustration, call it what you want. It just, you know, it wasn't a good move. I mean, especially when, you know, your team had lost, you know, 7 games in a row coming into yesterday. Now it's 8. You know, and you could have helped end it. You know, and I know your guy Blake is getting the majority of the blame. I saw they already benched him, you know, for next week. They're going to go with Cody Kessler, who is actually 0-8 in 8 career NFL starts. So I don't know how well that's going to do against, you know, against Indianapolis, who's been playing real well. But, yeah, you know, you kind of look at it. I mean, remember, you know, everybody was getting on the Jacksonville bandwagon, and they had this great defense. And you got to kind of wonder now what the heck is the defense. You know, it seems like the only thing they can do now is talk. I mean, Jalen Ramsey's got a big mouth, but he hasn't done much this year.
No, and I mean, is there anything to say about they were surprised by the new kid, Jalen?
The who? You broke up at the end.
Phil's new quarterback.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't hear anything. You know, I know he rushed. I think he ended up with 99 rushing yards. He had 100, but he lost one on a kneel down. So. but, yeah, I just, you know, such a weird, you know, team. I thought everybody had thought, you know, they had kind of shown what they could do. I mean, you know, in reality, they were almost a Super Bowl team last year. They had a really good chance to beat the Patriots in that AFC Championship game. And, you know, even this year, they got out of the gate really good. They won three of their first four games. They beat the Patriots this time around in the regular season. And then, you know, it just went all downhill. I mean, you lost to the Chiefs. Okay, they're a solid team. But then you turn around and get blown out by the Cowboys when, you know, they were just reeling. And, you know, the last 3 weeks they played some close games that good teams normally win. You know, they lost by 3 to the Colts, 4 to the Steelers, and then 3 to the Bills. And you just wonder, well, you know, what the hell's going to happen now? You know, they got the Colts, then the Titans again. And then it's Redskins, Dolphins, Texans to end the year. Who knows? You know, obviously benching Blake Bortles isn't the answer, but, you know, he seems to be kind of the scapegoat there, and that's just how it's going to go.
Do you think it has anything to do with just, I mean, let's be honest, their season's over. They're not playoff bound. Do you think it has anything to do with just giving them a week off?
Yeah, you know, I do wonder. You know, and to be honest, I mean, if he sat the rest of the year, it may not actually be a bad thing, because then kind of the fans could get a look at, well, here's the other guy. You know, this is what we would have if we didn't have Blake Bortles. You know, and I know, you know, it's so weird because everybody gets, you know, they get really spoiled with these, oh, well, you know, we're going to draft a quarterback number one, and he's going to play and lead us to the promised land. Yeah, you know, that doesn't really happen. I mean, you know, oh, especially in their first year. I mean, you know, like Mitchell Trubisky is, you know, big step. You know, obviously Carson Wentz did really well for the Eagles last year, but look at them this year. You know, they're struggling, but you look at the guys. I mean, Baker Mayfield's done okay with Cleveland. He's done great. He's done okay, and they're playing better football. The Bills are a mess. You know, Josh Allen, you know, he's been hurt. You know, he played okay yesterday, but he's had his issues. And then Josh Rosen in Arizona hasn't done anything to blow anybody out of the water. You know, I know everybody's on the Lamar Jackson bandwagon, but you got to remember, he beat Oakland and another really bad team in his two starts. So, yeah, you know, a lot of people didn't even think Lamar Jackson was a first-round quarterback. So, you know, it's so hit or miss. Yeah, you know, it's the way that, you know, there are still people calling that the Giants will draft a quarterback with the number two pick. No matter how well Saquon Barkley has done, there are still people who complain that they should have drafted a quarterback. Imagine where the hell they would be if they didn't have Barkley.
Completely at the bottom.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, yeah, they may not have won a game. But, you know, it's just, you know, people get carried away. And, I understand fans do it. That's what we do as fans. But, yeah, some of these experts just get – or, maybe they're alleged experts. I don't know what makes them an expert. Whatever they are, they kind of get lost in – I don't know if they're trying to be the coolest guy or if they're trying to be the guy who says the thing. I want to be that guy. And, a lot of times it's just it's dumb or it's just, rhetoric for no reason. You're saying it for no reason.
Well, wouldn't you say that Mariota and Winston are still trying to prove themselves?
Yeah, well, obviously Mariota's played better, a little bit. And, he's been hurt pretty much all year. Obviously Winston's biggest problem is the fact that he just can't get out of his own way. He seems to get himself in trouble with whatever stupidity he does. So, I forgot what was the call this year. Didn't he call an Uber driver or harass an Uber driver or something?
Probably jammed his hand down her pants or something.
So, yeah.
From the back seat.
Yeah. So, yeah, you just got to wonder. I mean, with all the issues he's had, can he stay out of his own way to ever be the guy that, people thought he might be? And, that's another funny, kind of scenario there is the fact that everybody was telling, no, this is the guy Tampa Bay's got to pick. He's the guy, you don't have to worry about those character concerns. He'll straighten them out. And I guarantee you could never get any of those guys to admit they said that when that draft was coming around out there. So, just kind of how it goes. But, yeah, it's tough. Only elite quarterbacks can win games with bad teams. Because, you've got to be able to block. I mean, you saw last night, if you watched the ball, man, Minnesota's pass rush was killing Aaron Rodgers. It's not Aaron Rodgers' fault his linemen can't block.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times they're like, well, he needs to get rid of the ball quicker. Those guys are on top of him literally after he got the snap. How quick do you expect him to get rid of the damn ball? So, yeah, but, that's just kind of how it goes. It's always going to be that, that quarterback's fault no matter who he is. But don't forget, you can go over to TuneIn.com, listen to the podcast whenever you want.